You know what would be a funny dinner? Mel Gibson and Rush Limbaugh.
Let's set us back and forth. Maybe set up a little parlor game. Maybe have them do some word association. Sugar tits. Go ahead.
We might not all really look the same, but baby, that's okay. It's White Boy Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to first talk about the white boy of the week. And this is coming, I know, y'all saw, or at least 20 minutes, if not more, of the whole balloon boy hoax, scam, whatever, publicity stunt, whatever you want to call it, on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everything, Fox News, everything. And I guess our next White Boy of the Week award goes to Mr. Falcon, Captain Falcon himself.
Well, you know, I guess they expected he'd be a great pilot for a nice big balloon there.
But the thing is, he wasn't even in the balloon, which was, I don't understand. From what I heard, like, he wasn't even in the balloon. He was, so pretty much a whole bunch of folks in America was watching an empty-ass balloon float across the Midwest for about 2.5 to 3 hours. And now there's a new development with the whole situation with the FAA.
Apparently the FAA has come in and they're investigating this. And I can't even imagine, you know, we're spending our tax dollars here, and the FAA has time to come investigate a helium balloon going over the Midwest.
But this is a serious. This is a very serious. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Very serious situation. You know.
Can you imagine? You know, once a week. I'm sick of my kid. I'm gonna send him in a helium balloon. No, don't play in traffic. I'm gonna send you in a helium balloon. You're not going to grandma's house. You are stuck in a helium balloon. Stuck there.
I mean, I guess that's how white people discipline their kids.
You know what? Maybe the parents were really pissed off at the kid, and they said, "Hey, we're gonna put you in a helium balloon," and he had to go to the bathroom before they launched it. I mean, I would check out. I would make sure that there's nothing wrong with this kid. I bet these parents are not too happy. But I guess maybe this will lead to something new. You know, I'm really hoping this is gonna lead to Real Housewives of North Dakota. I've been waiting for this for years. As soon as we heard that we were going to have, you know, Real Housewives of Orange County and of Atlanta, we need Real Housewives of North Dakota.
Yes, yes, yes. Definitely.
I think that is already on Brian's favorite list for things he's going to watch.
I mean, obviously, if it was in Hulu right now, I'd put it on my queue. No doubt. I guess, doesn't it call into question the current state of journalism? I mean, if it hasn't already been called into question already, I mean, I'd hate to think that this whole balloon boy hoax was really the true icing on the cake. As far as like what,
I just don't know what's happening to journalism. It's a disappointment. I mean, is there nothing better to report on? Do they have nothing else to report on? It seems like they're reporting more on this or X celebrity dying than something that'd be legitimately important that someone will actually want to know about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just don't know how to even approach it. I mean, me being somewhat of an aspiring journalist myself, it's really odd that so many people took so much stock in the story, and I mean, anybody who's listening right now, if you've seen my tweets, goddamn, you've seen them. I mean, it's like it was a balloon floating in the air, and no one was in it. And then people came up to me, and was like, Brian, do you not realize there may have been someone in there at one time, and now they're nowhere to be found. And then they were like, well, how did you
What? How do you lose a kid in a balloon? I mean, how would you lose him?
Yes. Every day somebody asks me where the real and things is at. They on the ground. There's mad talented cats on the ground with that war shit. You know what I'm saying? Bringing the war skills. You know what I'm saying? Really, to me, it's more wonder like puppies walking pitchy.
You know what? That's how I'm going to fly home next time. Forget Delta. Forget AirTran. I am going via helium balloon.
Oh, man. And it's a lot more cost-effective that way, too.
It absolutely is.
I could imagine. And then we pulled up the actual story on with the FAA investigating the whole situation. And there's a photo, a beautiful family photo of...
The
entire family.
The Heens, the Henny family,
and I don't even know how to tell you this, y'all. They're not even completely 100% white, and it threw me for a loop because I was like, all the children are half white, half Asian descent, and I was like, I felt like. At least the Asian side would have came with some kind of logic or reason or something. It's like, hey, why is there this? Why do you have this balloon in the backyard? All the other neighbors, you know, have patio furniture. You know, maybe a gazebo. You know, why is there this oversized helium balloon just chilling? You know, people talk about us at the PTA meetings, at the neighborhood association meeting. Why? And from what I understand, this family has been on several reality shows before this.
It says they were on ABC's Wife Swap.
What? I think they were on there twice, weren't they?
I'm not always that familiar with that show, but I remember them being on there at least once.
Oh, goodness gracious!
You know, they swapped the wife, and I think what happened was the dad just got more redneck. What ended up happening, you know, he was sitting out on his porch outside. He was sitting on a lawn chair just like my suite mate. And he had it's called a pack of PBR. And he was saying, what can I do to make my house look more redneck?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I don't even know how to describe it.
But what would be more redneck than having a gigantic balloon in your backyard? I mean, can you imagine anything?
I couldn't even tell you. Two gigantic balloons? I don't know.
This is not the first case of something like this. In the Darwin Awards, I think it was in the second edition, there's a case of a man who bought, I think, 4 weather balloons, and he tied them to a lawn chair and took 3 or 4 sub sandwiches and supposedly a keg. I don't really know how he could have flown with a keg, but... and he flew over, and... His balloon was shot down over LAX, and he was arrested on the spot. And the only thing he asked was, can I bring my beer with me?
White people, come on now. You got to claim some of these people. I don't understand. I know black folks, we do some crazy stuff. We've got caught with our pants down, red-handed, whatever you want to call it. But come on. I feel like there should be someone in the community that's designated as that guy who's just like, come on, dog. Like,
come on. Come in.
you come up to somebody with an obviously terrible idea. You got to designate someone to just be like, dog, come on.
I am sorry. Louisiana, what year is it in Louisiana? That is what I want to know.
Apparently in Louisiana, it's still like Mardi Gras 1938.
You know what? They're going to party like it's 1938. And there's part of me that wants to respect that. At the same time, though, let them get married.
Yeah. It's, what to tell you as far as that's concerned.
The governor got on the horn. He said, "What are you doing?" He's asking the guy who was going to marry them was a state official, and he's asking the state official to just apologize to them. And I don't understand why he would have just said no in the first place if he knew it was illegal. He works for the state.
Yeah. I just loved his reason behind it. It was very scientific. I mean, to say the least, he was just like, you know, given prior circumstances when it's come to interracial couples, I just feel that children that are born in an interracial relationship, are prone to more problems, more social, emotional, even physical/biological problems than a child that's not born, you know, in an interracial relationship.
But is that the government's thing to call on? I mean, you're a government official. You're not someone going out to determine someone's morals or to make a decision for them.
Oh yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I just found it funny because I know everybody was sitting back thinking, what was this man's reason? Like, you know, everybody was thinking, I want to know this man's reason right now. Like, this better be a good ass reason as to why why he is not allowing this couple in love, to join in holy matrimony.
Well, you know what? I have a story that would go along with that. Can remember August before I left for freshman year, my dad takes me into his room and he says, "Ross, I got something to tell you. You can date people who are not Jewish. You can also date Asians."
And that was it?
That was it. Like, thanks, Dad. I'm glad I can, I'm so glad I can date somebody who is not a Jew. That, you know, that opens my pool up so much. I can date Asians. Dad, why can I date Asians? Oh, they have honorary Jew status. Thanks,
Oh,
Dad.
My goodness. That's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know. My mom grew up in a different time. And she's originally from Charleston. So, like, to have something like this pop up, it wasn't even a situation where she was like, "I don't even know, Brian, you know, son, I don't even know what the world's coming to nowadays. I really don't know what to say." She was like, with the sternest face that a mother, only a mother could have, she was like, "Well, I told you so." Essential Unfunky UFO off the Mothership Connection album. I think that came out in 19. So sound like my uncle. 1977.
My dad has that album.
Yes. I mean 70s funk. You can't really deny. This is one of the greatest genres that I wish would be resurrected. Tastefully, because, you know, be our generation, people our age, we try to resurrect things that, A, we weren't even a part of, and B, we don't do the research on.
We just want to bring everything back to the old days.
We really do. The old days, even though most of us are, what, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old?
The old days of a good Nickelodeon. Bring back Rocco's Modern Life.
Where's Adventures of Pete? Where's Pete and Pete?
I love Pete. Do you remember there was a Pete and Pete once where the mom went over to a payphone that had been ringing for 20 years, and she picked it up, and it was a message from, like, the electrician or something who had a big crush on her. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Frost. I have no idea as to how you remember that.
I don't either, but I love Pete and Pete.
That is absolutely amazing and quite disturbing.
Oh, come on. That was a great show.
Yes, it was a lot of good shows.
I learned a lot about how to be a slacker. From
the 90s, good old 90s. 90s Nickelodeon television. We're going to get into our next topic of discussion. This is more for CFC students who are familiar, who got the email from P. George, Benson George, P.P. Funk himself.
Waldo.
Good old Waldo. Oh, no, we're going to get to that story in a second. Now that you reminded me, good old Waldo. no, before we get to the strategic plan, let me talk to you about how Waldo, if you're referencing what I'm thinking, how Waldo, the nickname Waldo came about. Now, I used to work for the GSO, which is another a subsidiary of the Cougar Media Network. It's basically our student-run newspaper on campus. And as the Indulge editor, which I was in charge of arts and entertainment, we ran a story. It was one of the first few issues that we ran as while Indulge was under my supervision. And it was a story about how P. George was never, ever, ever to be found on campus, ever. It was so hard to get in touch with him. And I still stand by that fact, no matter how many people rip me for it. I couldn't find P. George. You couldn't find P. George. Damn it, Bear Grylls for A Man vs. Wild probably couldn't even find P. George. I'm saying that it was a situation where we wrote a story. It was supposed to be funny. It was supposed to be kind of like a tongue-in-cheek kind of featurette, really, that talked about that kind of chronicled chasing after P. George, trying to chase P. George down just to say hi, not even have a full-fledged, you know, conversation. Just say, what's up, P. George, how you doing? I'm a college Charles student. How are you? How your mama doing? Things like that. And the cover art, which was done by a Miss Kaylin Williams, who's a CFC student, and she was the former design editor for the Indulge section, who's now in Japan right now. Konnichiwa. How you doing, boo-boo? I'm pretty, it's what, a day later? It's like a day or day, or 18 hours or something in advance. So, you know, eat your breakfast, grow up, be strong.
Eat your Wheaties.
There you go. And the cover art was basically a page that was taken from the classic Where's Waldo books. And
didn't you replace Waldo's face with P. George's?
Yes, we definitely took P. George's face, big old head. We took his head and replaced Waldo's with his. And oh my goodness, I didn't even. It got to a point where the cover was so awesome, I didn't even care about the feature itself after a certain point. But we got so much flack for it. Well, I got a lot of flack for it. Because I was gonna be damned if my editor in chief Frandino, Nathan Frandino, who's also a CFC student, you can find him Nathan Frandino on Twitter. I was gonna be damned if I let everybody else take the flack for that, because I stood behind it 100%, and I to this day I still don't regret that.
Thank you.
My first P. George sighting was at, oh, good Lord. It was at Charleston Affair last year. Charleston Affair is pretty much a one whole big shebang-a-bang that college seniors and alumni go to as kind of like a send-off, complete with the greatest food and ample amounts of alcohol and great music. And I, by the time P. George showed his face, I, needless to say, was definitely not sober by any means. And you have to understand, this is an older, affluent white man now. I came up from behind him because I was like, hey, is that P. George? Is that P. George?
Oh, no, you didn't.
He was with his wife, too. Yes, I did. I damn sure did. He was with his wife, too. And I was like, that's P. George. Hold on. Hold my drink. And I sure did. I strutted over there and I tapped him. In my mind of minds, I tapped him on the shoulder, but someone told me later that I definitely grabbed him by the shoulder. I grabbed him by the shoulder and was like, P. George, P. You don't know me, but our newspaper interviewed your wife. And I definitely said it just like that, but kind of like half whispered, half spat in his face. I'm your greatest fan. I'm your biggest fan, P. George. I just want to introduce myself. You know, I think you're doing a great, great job at the college, and you should get a beer. Get this man a beer. He was like, no. Thank you, though. It was a pleasure meeting you, sir. So, what's your name? Brian.
I had an even worse situation. I was required to help run an event that was at P. George's house in the little basement area where they have guests over.
Yeah.
And I'm having this conversation. John Capel, student body president, tells me to walk over and come talk. And I'm talking to this woman, have no idea who she is, and she asks me what I think about the drinking age and if I think it should be 21. And I go on this whole rampage about how I think that the drinking age is ludicrous, and I wrote a GSO article the year before about how we essentially turn upperclassmen students into speakeasies. And a couple minutes later, John goes, "By the way, this is Jane Benson." And I go, "Oh, I'm Ross Crystal. Nice to meet." Oh. And it was right after I finished talking to her about how I thought marijuana should be legalized. Probably not good things to talk to with the first lady of the college, but. She said that I put up a very intelligent debate. I don't really know what that means, coming from her. But
that means that she smokes weed, too. That's all that means.
You think so?
What do you mean I think so? Okay, I'm going to let you know right now. Anybody with any kind of money or any kind of power in this world who knows full well that they can get away with damn near anything they want to without any kind of real scrutiny smokes weed. Period. Period. If broke ass people with no jobs can find a way to smoke some weed every once in a while, that the affluent among us definitely smokes weed, and you know they got the good stuff too. So keep in touch with P. George. Keep in touch. You need to keep in touch with P. George's wife because she knows where it's at. But you ain't hear that from me. Now you did, but hell, don't worry about that. I'm in college. We take liberties here.
Didn't you want to talk a little bit about our buddy
Rush? Oh, goodness.
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my boy. My boy Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I know y'all been keeping up with this in the news about how how he was so adamant about gaining ownership of an NFL team, specifically the St. Louis Rams.
The St. Louis Rams. Wow, that's like, I am going to buy the Kansas City Royals of football.
Yeah.
This sounds like a great purchase.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded so noble and majestic about it, though. He made it seem like he was going to bring the Rams up from the ashes and turn them around, you know, almost whip them into shape, for lack of a better term. And, like, the media world blew up. Everybody from Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to Anderson Cooper, Glenn Beck had something to say. Bill O'Reilly brought some black folks on his show to talk some shit. It was it turned into, like, this media
frenzy.
I was going to say shitstorm, but, I mean, I feel like that probably
maybe shit show. That show would be
That'd probably be better. And to a point where Al Sharpton, he got so worked up, he got his perm in such a tizzy that he threw his hat into the ring and was like, you know what? If he can put his bid in for a football team, then damn it, I'm gonna put a bid in too, because that's just not fair. He's gonna sit here and come on. Come into the media spotlight on national damn television and tell people that I'm going to try to own this team,
the St. Louis Rams.
That's my question.
Do you guys remember Donovan McNabb? He is not a great football player, says Rush Limbaugh. He says that he is only thought of to be good because he's black. He said this on nationally syndicated radio.
But this is true, though.
I mean, do you really think that's true?
Well, see, you have to go back into history just a tad, and a lot of people don't. You're not really taught this in any kind of school setting, really, unless you go seek it out yourself, take an African American studies class, especially. If you really want to get pissed off at white people all the time, take African American studies course at any college in the country. It is like you'll just end up being mad at people who were your best friends at one time. You just like, what you looking at, white boy?
Like, I'm just so mad.
That's like, I won't talk to you no more. Your ancestors screwed up my ancestors. But no, it goes back to the whole idea of and I mentioned this on Twitter too, the Sambo thesis. The Sambo thesis, I cannot remember the name of the man who first postulated this theory, but the Sambo thesis was basically a situation where overseers during the times of the American slave trade would specifically breed certain slaves, male and female slaves, especially male slaves, who were bigger, stronger, faster, who could jump higher and do all of these amazing things, and they would section those specific individuals off and only have them breed with suitable female counterparts. And this is during, this is not even barely over 200 years ago. And it was a theory that was practiced in certain situations, certain plantations, but was mostly frowned upon. But that's, I think, a lot of activists, NAACP, we didn't even get started in NAACP. Talk about a brainless organization. But activist groups like that took that thesis and put it into real world situations, especially when it came to professional sports, like especially professional sports. The point when black males started to dominate sports, the running joke is that one day it's just going to be, it's like next thing you know, it's going to be all over when black guys start dominating hockey. Hockey's like the final frontier.
But if you look at baseball, baseball's seen a retreat.
It has.
I mean, the biggest star, who's the biggest African-American star in baseball? You got
Jeter.
Jeter's half.
He's half. So we're still going to claim him. Thank you.
You got Griffey's, but Griffey's old.
Griffey's still playing?
Griffey is still playing. Griffey is back in Seattle.
Wow, I didn't realize he was still playing.
He's back. He plays DH now, and he's gone from being little twig to being, you know, big poppy size almost.
Wow.
He's put on a couple pounds. He does not run the bases so nicely, and he plays DH because he couldn't catch a baseball if his life depended on it these days.
Oh wow.
It's pretty sad actually.
Well, yeah, you've definitely seen a retreat in certain sports. This was more, I guess it was more so a theory that was applied, especially in the 90s, especially in the late 80s, early to mid 90s. But yeah, I guess that's where a lot of the uproar from the non-white community came from when Limbaugh decided to throw his hat in the ring when he was trying to purchase the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, Rush. Rush always has to do that to us.
Good old
I mean,
all of us.
what would we do without Rush? We would have nobody to make fun of.
Oh, no. We definitely have people to make fun of.
Who would we make fun of instead of Rush, though?
I mean, we wouldn't be able to make fun of anybody to the same degree as we do Rush Limbaugh. Like, people, everybody, young and old, black and white, just they all hang their heads when Rush
I mean,
rocks up to the
Rush
podium.
Is like the mafia. He gives us chances every day to just make fun of him. And I would be really upset if Rush stopped being a moron. Well, I mean, what happens if Rush Limbaugh thinks before he speaks?
Oh, man. Who knows what would come out of his mouth, honestly. I'm not even about to take that chance. I'm just gonna let Rush continue to be Rush Limbaugh, and that's that. All right, that was That was Bone Thugs and Harmony with First of the Month. See, I don't know how many of y'all can relate to that. Because that's black problems. So don't worry about it too much. But
that's the worst day of the month. That's when I got to pay my credit card.
Shoot, you think you having a bad day on the first of the month? Yeah, I'm gonna take you. I'm gonna take you on a little ride.
When I get my credit card bill and I only have, you know, $500 left in the checking account, I get a little upset.
Oh Lord, see, that's.
And now you're seeing the big nose and the yarmulke. Right? You're seeing.
For all that don't know, Ross Kressel is Jewish. He is Jewish.
I am.
But I wanted to get back on before I signed off because I got a few prior engagements. I wanted to shout out a few people who have been listening to the show. I mean, granted, it's only been the second show, but hey, some dedication is better than no dedication at all. So I appreciate y'all coming through and blessing me and blessing Ross Kressel, our special guest this week, with your presence. First off, wanted to shout out everybody in Charlotte, CLT, who've been listening over the past two shows. These past two shows, I will get the podcast out as soon as I possibly can. The GM is not acting right. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's gonna get it to me as soon as possible, and we will do it. I also wanted to give a shout out to my girl, Faith Ezekiel. She's asleep right now, but she'll hear this. She'll hear this in the podcast next week, I'm sure, sometime next week. Also, everybody who went out to Pekacha, it's pronounced Pekacha. Trust me, I looked it up today. Not Pekacucha, not Pechacucha. That doesn't even sound right. That sounds like I don't even want to tell you what that sounds like. But everybody who...
Oh, you know what it sounds like.
Oh, I know that you know that I know what it sounds like. Don't worry about that. But everybody who came out and represented Pekacha, my boss and my boy, Ken Hawkins, was out there. He represented the Digitel. I write for the Digitel, so please look up the Digitel anytime you want to find out the goings-on in your holy city of Charleston, South Carolina. Also, a very, very, very special shout out to my boy Nathan Frandino. He's been on iChat